إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. My brothers and sisters, we were talking about the issue of excellence. Two things I mentioned yesterday. One was the importance of practice in terms of quantity, enough practice. And before that, the importance of correct practice, thoughtful practice. And I gave you the references of two books and so on, and you would have got that in today's Fajr Reminder. Talking about that and applying the principle of thoughtful practice to Salah, there are a couple of things that I want to remind myself and you about. One is, I'm sure all of us have had this experience, when you upgrade to a new tool, whether it is getting a new smartphone or whether it is using a new tool in terms of software that we use on our computers, the experience of the first few days, or depending on how fast you learn and how much effort you make, the first few weeks is not pleasant. Experience is actually unpleasant because you don't know how the new thing works. I still remember the first time I got a smartphone with a touch screen. I was dead against touch screens. I was very happy with my Blackberries and the keypads. But then we came willy-nilly into this touch screen thing. And the first few weeks of that was miserable. I hated it because thoughtlessly you touch some part of the screen, something happens and which you never intended, and all kinds of stuff. But today we have reached a stage where we can't live without touch screens. I mean, when I get a phone, the only condition is that it must have a swipe, you know, where you just write without typing. So I don't even want to see a keyboard. But that took time because, you know, it's from the time to of keyboards, and I used to type very fast with two thumbs on that keyboard to this point. Now, the point I'm making is that anything which is new, no matter how good it is, I mean, the new phone that you got, or the new camera that you got, or the new computer that you got, or the new software that you got, the reason you got the new one was because it is better than the old one. So obviously the new one is capable of doing a lot of stuff, right? It's capable of doing a lot of stuff. But it is capable of doing that for you if you know how to make it do that. The machine is able to do that. Right? And nowadays when I travel, I don't even take my laptop anymore. My phone does everything. Whatever I need to do, I have stopped carrying my laptop. So I'm saying that that's because I know how to use the phone. But the point is that if you don't know how to use it, then it is misery. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because this is the nature of our Salah. The Salah is capable of doing many things, but we don't know how to make it do those things. So for us, the Salah is, you know, I mean, for some people it's a drudgery, for some people it is, may not be a drudgery, but, you know, it's, okay, so I have to do it, I do it. You know, if I'm ticking off one box, that box is ticked now, Fajr, Zuhar, Asar, Maghrib, Isha, khalas, I'm done. I'm free for the day. One of my shuyukh, may Allah bless him, used to say, what is your feeling at the end of Salah? So I said, Alhamdulillah. He said, what does that mean? So I said, relief, Alhamdulillah. He said, then your Salah is useless. He said, then your Salah, if at the end of Salah you said Alhamdulillah with a feeling of relief, then your Salah is useless. Because you have just said that this was a burden I was carrying, I dumped it, now Alhamdulillah. This is the beauty of, you know, having teachers. That's why it's important to have teachers. Urdu bolte, deen seekha jata, padhane jata. पढ़ने से कोई एतराज़ नहीं है, मगर सिर्फ पढ़ने से दीन नहीं आता, दीन सीखना पड़ता है, सोहबत में किसी के रह के सीखना सीखना पड़ता है, किसी को उस्ताद मानना पड़ता है। सो इन उर्दू वी से दैट रिलीजन इज लर्नड, इट इज़ नॉट रेड, नथिंग अगेंस्ट रीडिंग, बट आफ्टर रीडिंग यू हैव टू लर्न इन द कंपनी ऑफ और एट द फीट ऑफ ए टीचर हु कैन टीच यू, बिकॉज दैट इज हाउ सहाबा बिकेम सहाबा विद द सोहबत ऑफ रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम। सोहबत से सहाबी बने, किताब पढ़ के साहबी नहीं बने। दे डिडंट बिकम साहबा बाई गेटिंग डिग्रीज फ्रॉम दिस यूनिवर्सिटी और दैट यूनिवर्सिटी और यू नो, दे बिकेम साहबा बाई बींग इन द सोहबत ऑफ नबी सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम। एनीवे वी हैव आवर ओन कंस्ट्रेंट, बट द पॉइंट आई एम मेकिंग इज दैट एज फार एज आवर सलाह इज कंसर्न, दिस इज द प्रॉब्लम। सलाह इज केपेबल ऑफ डूइंग मेनी थिंग्स बट वी डोंट नो हाउ टू मेक इट डू दैट, सो देन द सलाह इज, सो दिस एज आई सेड दिस माई शेख वाज़ टू से। So I said, well, what is the alternative if I should not feel? Then he told me this story of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, which I have mentioned so many times before, of his servant. His servant, somebody asked him, tell me about the life of your master. The man said, he finishes one salah and waits for the other. He waits for the next one. And in the period between the two salawat, he recites Quran. Now, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was a businessman. He had big business. He used to trade across countries. So obviously, he had work to do. He went to an office. He did, you know, deals and all that. But why is the servant saying? Because the servant is saying this because that was the primary thing in the life of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. All the rest of it was, you know, there was used to be in the decades ago when I used to watch television occasionally, there was a ad by Tata Steel, and the ad was all about their CRS work, their corporate social responsibility work. So this social work, that social work, and the tagline of the ad was, we also make steel. You might see, I don't know, some of you may remember this ad, we also make steel, and the company is a steel company. So I'm saying this is the this is the whole issue of what is the primary. So with Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, I also do trade. What is your primary job? My primary job is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I also happen to be a businessman. Then what happens? The business becomes subservient to the usul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. There's no conflict, there's no, you know, big dilemma, there's no tussle between what should I do here, what should I do? What should you do? Your primary purpose in life is وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah created you for His worship. So, your primary job is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I also happen to do business. I also happen to have a family. I also happen to do this, that. What? All of this is subsidiary. It's, I also do that. Alhamdulillah, nothing wrong with that. I will do that. But if somebody says, now I have an issue in my business, is this this particular line which is halal, this one which is doubtful. Haram, obviously, we don't even think about it because it is haram, is haram, khalas, what's there to think? But it's okay, this one is doubtful. What is the doubt? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, leave the doubtful for that which is not doubtful. Khalas, we leave that, we leave it. If it is doubtful, salam alaikum, not interested. We catch, we hold on to what is what we know, what is sure. So, this is the issue of salah. So, our salah, if we want this salah to benefit us, then we have to learn to use it the way the Sahaba learned to use it, right? By practice, by enough practice. And as I mentioned, just Fard Salah alone gives us that many hours, or has given us that many hours, those of us who have lived or prayed for 50 years. But going forward now, because as I mentioned yesterday, the last 50 years worth of Salah, God knows, you know, we ask Allah for Sawab, but otherwise it did not do anything for us. So now going forward, if we want it to change, we've got to do something more with it. So number one is pray more. Kasratu sujood. One of the Asbabul Husnul Khatima, the reasons or asbab or means for a good ending. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Husnul Khatima for all of us. May Allah give us an ending which is on Iman and Yaqeen. For this, The method is kasratu sujood, increase the number of sajdas. Now, obviously, that does not mean instead of two, you do four. What it means is the number of rakat that you pray, which means nawafil. So, whether it's in tahajjud or whether it's just nafil, when you come pray nafil. After the first salah, pray nafil. Wherever, whenever, because for nafil salah, there is no limit, and there is no, any time of the day or night, except for the prohibited hours, we can pray nafil. So, increase the number of nawafil, because in the nawafil, we can concentrate, we can spend as much time as we want in the sajda, in the ruku and so on. You are not either behind an imam or you are not doing imamat where you have to think about people behind you and what not. You can recite as much Quran as you want. What you don't know from memory, you can even look at the mushaf and recite. You cannot hold a mushaf standing behind an imam, but you can hold a mushaf when you are praying on your own in nafil. So, all of this can be done in nawafil. So, increase the number of nawafil. The second thing is, which I was saying, which I mentioned yesterday also, is the issue of thoughtful practice. So, concentrating when we are standing on the musalla, concentrating with respect to salah. Right? Constant, first and foremost, have this consciousness to say, where am I standing? I'm standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu, in His presence. Allah is watching me right now. I'm about to recite His kalam back to Him. Who is the first one who said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalalu. I'm about to say that to whom? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That consciousness, that awareness inside us. Two beautiful analogies. Somebody sent me this thing, one of my friends from South Africa. One is, he said that the salah, the positions of the salah, they are the positions of our life. So, the salah starts, even though sujood is the place where we are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said salah starts in this standing position and qiyam. So, when we are standing in salah, he said this is like our life. When you are doing well and so on and so forth, you are young, you know, you have youth, you have success in business, whatever it is, alhamdulillah. And then sometimes life bows you down. Yeah, you have difficulties and calamities, may Allah save us from all that. But these things happen and so you get bowed down. And he said this is the position of the ruku. And then sometimes you go all the way down and you are flat on the flat on your face, some disaster has happened. But after that you get up again for the second rakat. So he said this is symbolic of life itself, to say that no, even if you are right down, you have to get up again. You can't stay there. Okay, yes, you are. Yes, you can go down because this is what life is. Sometimes things happen, but you cannot stay there. Get up again. Another analogy he said is that this is the life of the human being, where the person is young and youthful and strong and so on and so forth. He's standing, and then as age comes on him, he bows down with age. And then he dies in the sajda, and may Allah take our life in sajda, inshallah. And when he is in sajda, this is the position where he is dead. And then when he stands up again, this is the resurrection on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him again. So whatever symbolism you want to think about and so on and so forth, alhamdulillah, may Allah give us a great understanding. But the key thing is thoughtful practice, which is when we are praying, to pray with complete and total consciousness. You know how strange it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa akimi salata li zikri." Allah said, and establish the salah for my zikr, for remembering me. Now, in the remembrance, if we have ghaflat, in the remembrance, if our thoughts are wandering here and there, if in the remembrance we are forgetful, technically speaking, this is not possible. It's like somebody saying that I want to be hungry while eating. I want to be thirsty while drinking. How is it possible? I want to stand still while moving. I mean, how is this? These are oxymoronic thing. I mean, the two opposites cannot be together. So, how can you remember and forget at the same time? But we managed to do that quite well. I mean, may Allah forgive us. But two completely opposite things, we managed to do it very well. But this is something that I remind myself, we must make tawbah and say, this is very bad. This is not if we are forgetful about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah itself, then what hope do we have of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our daily life? The salah is a symbol for the rest of our lives. Yeah, salah is the symbol for the rest of our lives. Maulana Yunus Patel, rahmatullah, one of our shuyukh from South Africa, mashallah, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his life sitting in front of the Kaaba. He, after he finished tawaf, he was sitting in the mataf looking at the Kaaba and he died. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is buried in Makkah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor and give him Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la bi ghairi hisab. He used to say, Salah begins outside the masjid. Mr. Sheikh, what does it mean? He used to say, Salah is the framework and the reminder of how you must conduct yourself and your life once you leave the masjid. It's not only about the worship. He said, this is giving you the whole framework of what to do once you go outside the masjid. Inshallah, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But for today, inshallah, let us think about this and say, how can I be thoughtful in my salah? How can I be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Leave this Dalindar dunya for a while, at least for that 5 minutes or 10 minutes that we are in salah. Forget it. Let it do whatever the hell it wants. I don't care. Allahu Akbar, khalas, go to hell. You know, I mean, what is it to me? I'm standing with my Rabb Jalla Jalalu. Let this thing not come inside in your mind, in your heart, and this and that, and the phone is buzzing and something is happening. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Let us give ourselves some peace of mind and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. And that, like Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, pray as if this is your last salah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that. May our last salah be the time in which we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahmatullah.